All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're live. We are live. Wednesday, Wednesday. We're trying to figure out the lady's accent. I don't know if it's English or what it is, but welcome to Wednesday, Wednesday.
Hi,
Bill. Hi, Hank. Hank is crawling back in the room now.
Back from the dead.
And he has risen.
I'm the rogue.
So we are going to start our show now. Thank you for coming back alive. Somebody's choking out there. Do you hear that? We have a vaporizing show tonight. Guess what that's the sound of?
A volcano.
Well, they were supposed to guess. Oh, my gosh.
We did.
Oh, not you. Oh, my goodness.
Got a brand new bag, and Carol actually, my friend, cleaned it.
Well, Hank.
And I'm wiping the end every time I take a hit.
Thank you. He's got his little cleany cloth here.
Yeah, a little wet wipe.
All right. Well, we have a fun show today for you to come back into. Thank you for coming back.
Well,
yay.
Vaporizer or smoke.
And thank you to Sativa Shaw and last week for joining us. He'll be a regular guest on our show. I know that. We would like to say welcome to Wednesday, Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis.
We have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at whole.
Entirety. Large world.
You can call, email, or blog your questions to have them aired. And Bell's going to give you the phone number right now to call in.
Yeah, if you want to call, if there's any of your buddies out there that feel like getting on the old-fashioned phone, you can call in. The number to call is 646-915-8421. And right now, we are waiting for a guest to call in. I think he is actually waiting for us to unmute him. He's probably here. But we would like to say a thank you to Tumbleweed Health Center for hosting this special show tonight.
Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medications, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. You can be reached at www.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
There is so much going on in the world today right now with as far as cannabis goes. There's raids and new scientific studies and,
what's happening with the dispensaries in Tucson?
What dispensaries in Tucson?
Well, that
was a good one.
For a minute here while we're waiting.
Well, no, he's here, but we'll chat for a second. No, it's good. The dispensary.
Well, we can talk that later.
We've got some news about that, and we'll share about that later. So right now.
I got some inside info, too.
Oh, good. We like inside info. We have right now a representative from Vape or Smoke. I'm not going to say this gentleman's name yet. I'll let him do that on air just in case, we can or can't. We never know the rules. But we at Tumbleweeds, and all over the world, there's a vaporizing trend that's out there that's supposedly...
It should be a trend. It should be the way to ingest your cannabis.
Well, one good way. One good way to ingest your cannabis. Yes, absolutely. So we thought we would have this gentleman come on our show and talk to us because a lot of people use vaporizers here and they have a lot of questions. So let's see if this works here and let's see if we can welcome Mr. Vaporizer to the show here. Let's see. Dun, da, da, da. Are you there?
I am here.
All right. Welcome. Can we say your name?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Jared. We'll say Jared. How are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well. And yourself?
Good.
My name's Nathan. I'm doing great, too. And I can't wait to listen to what you got to say.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We love vaporizing. But what can you tell us and tell the world of smokers out there that maybe they should know about vaporizing? And for the people that don't know anything about it, give us 101.
The basics of vaporizing is between the difference between vaporizing and smoking is you're not causing combustion of the medicine. You're creating a vapor that's going into your lungs. So if you can anytime you can keep anything that gets burned from going into your body, which is a carcinogen, is always a good thing. And that's really one of the biggest benefits, I think, of vaporizing.
Excellent. Yeah, I would imagine so. You get vaporizing, you get a light mist, is that right?
Yeah, it's water vapor essentially is what it is.
Okay.
And it still provides the same kind of therapeutic benefits, but it's just a little different.
Well, good.
Hank has a technical question for you.
Sure, I'll try.
What does THC vapor at? What temperature?
Oh, you're giving me technical questions tonight.
I said I was going to give you one.
He didn't know they were that technical.
Well, you know, there is a full list on what all the cannabinoids break down at temperature wise. Now, the nice thing about with the vapor smoke is, you know, it gives you some flexibility. You can vaporize with it, you can smoke with it, you can atomize it. The good thing about the vapor smoke is the temperature range that you can reach with the lighter. You can put it down to a low temperature to do your vaporizing. You can crank it all the way up to smoke and really get the high temperature you need to get the CBDs out of your meds to help treat the pain.
I have a lot of rookie patients every day.
Absolutely.
I'm getting more and more, and I'm pushing vaporizing and tinctures to the elderly. That
sure.
Most patients
Absolutely.
Are elderly. And tell me a little bit about the methods of vaporizing that are out there and what you recommend for my patients, especially for a beginner.
Yeah, you mentioned the atomite, too. So throw that in there as well.
Yeah, well, you know, the nice thing, you know, the product that I'm really talking about this evening is the vapor smoke, which you out at Tumbleweeds are curing. When you're talking about tinctures and other alternative methods to get our meds, there's an atomizer option that cartridge that you can purchase to go in your vapor smoke. So you are able to take a drop or two of that and smoke it as well, and you're creating water vapor, and it's wonderful.
That's great. And you said that you get the same medicinal value. Do you get? Maybe this is a rumor. I thought you got a little more medicine from vaporizing than you did from smoking because you weren't burning it. You were actually heating it. Is that true or no?
I've heard mixed reviews on that personally. I do know that if you're vaporizing the medicine after you're done vaporizing, you are actually able to take it out and still use it to extract some of the CBDs if you're not cranking it up for a high enough temperature. I've heard you can get more, but I guess it along with all kinds of medicine really kind of depends on the personal preference.
Right. Well, dealing with a lot of rookie patients, the rookie. He wants to, when he exhales, he wants to see this big old plume of smoke come out of his mouth, or he ain't got anything, he figures.
Sure.
And, you know, as what I tell them is if the least vapor you have coming that you can see coming out of your mouth, the better. As long as you've got the taste of whatever you're smoking, that means you have melted the trichomes, and that's where the flavor comes from anyway.
Right.
But then I tell them also, if they're going to vaporize for a lot of medicinal for the CBDs and the CBNs, you can turn it up a little higher and do smoke, and that way you're getting CBDs and CBNs. And also, I always tell everybody to save their
leftovers. Their leftovers.
Yes, leftovers. That's a good term.
And you can make a lot of people are making butter out of that.
Yes, that's what I've heard as well. I've not tried it myself, but I've heard the stories.
I haven't either, but
yeah. So as far you had mentioned something earlier, I want to go back to, and this goes along with Hank's question about the temperature range. Now, various books and manuals will tell you anywhere from 200 to 400, and
yes.
You mentioned that when you get the leftovers, you get more of the CBD, CBNs. Explain why that is. Can you?
Well. If you're vaporizing, you're not getting your medicine up to a high enough temperature. To get the CBDs, you do have to get it up to a pretty high range. And I don't remember what that is offhand, but yeah, you do have to get up to a higher range to get those really. So if you're able to not do that, you're okay.
Okay.
Okay. What I've read and stuff that I've because I got a little interested, and we even went online a little bit before the show.
Get out of here.
Because this is something I have because I have a lot of patients that are really bugging me about this subject. And so I'm trying to learn all I can about it. 360, you'll start burning the CBDs and CBNs. Most THC, your indicas will burn around 330, 335, 338. Your sativas are hotter, up to 350.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get up in the 360s, then you're starting to break down the CBDs and CBNs.
Right, right.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's the nice thing about the, you know, with the vapor smoke product, the piezoelectric lighter in there does go all the way up to about 400 degrees. So you're able to get to a high enough temperature, and you're able to really maximize your medicine all around.
I'm holding one of your vaporizers right now, and
yes, sir.
How do you adjust the temperature?
At the end, where you would refill the lighter.
Okay.
There's a little, there's a little groove in there. You can actually turn that left or right,
okay,
and it'll get you up or down.
So it's trial and error.
Yes, the vapor smoke is very much a trial and error thing. Really, okay, kind of your personal preference.
That's the problem I have with the vapor smoke and or all these portable ones. You know,
okay,
and they work wonderful. But people, when they buy them and they spend whatever, $50, $200 for them, $300, whatever, you know,
right,
and they load it and they smoke it and they put it down and they don't like it. It tastes shitty or this and that. They don't understand it's adjustable.
Right.
But they don't want to take the time.
Right.
Yes.
That's
they want something that they can load and
that's America.
Don't have to pull. Yeah, that's America. You're right.
That's America. But
we're on demand.
If you take the time with these devices, you can dial them in. A friend of mine went on a motorcycle ride, and he bought, how much did he pay, $200 for that?
Yeah.
$200 for a vaporizer, and he'd pull off at the rest stops to medicate, and by the time he got to where he was going, he wanted to throw the thing away.
Oh.
You
that's
know?
And
he still hasn't probably used it to today, and every time I go visit him, I want him to break it out so I can show him.
Yeah.
But you got to play with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
These are really quite simple, actually, to take apart and to actually adjust. But you're right. If you don't.
You got to take some time.
Yeah. And I was just going to ask you that, Jared. That was going to be my question. Is there a place, you know, on your Vapor Smoke website, is there a place where they can get instructions, how to, like a basic 101 for beginners and.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's videos online. They've also just come out with some new stuff on YouTube. Step by step directions on how to use your vapor smoke properly. Taking it apart, all that good stuff. And of course, when you do buy one, you do get a manual it comes in about 7 different native languages with pictures and all that good stuff. So, there's definitely some resources out there.
So a question for you, is there, of course you work for them, but why would the vapor smoke be better than any other kind of portable vaporizer?
For me, it's the flexibility. Really, it allows me the option, if I want to smoke, I can smoke. If I want to vaporize, I can vaporize. If I want to anamize with some tincture, I can do that. I can do it all with one thing, all with one device. And that's really one of the biggest things, along with.
It has a
little bit. Stealthy. It fits in one hand. I can use it just about anywhere. It's durable. If I drop it, it's not going to break. You know, and if it does, you've got a 2-year warranty on it. So
it's great.
It's an all-around good product. Yeah.
It's a win-win little product. Yeah. It looks like, you know, it's so small. It's smaller than a cell phone. It would fit right in your pocket. The atomizer, you just mentioned that. What is that? What do you use it for? And explain. Please.
Sure. Yeah, the atomizer is a separate little cartridge that you can buy. Essentially, it seeps into the base of your bowl. You put a drop of tincture into it or some other kind of extract. And people have used it for e-cigarette juice or liquid shisha, those kind of things as well. But you're able to, smoke out of your vaporizer or your vapor smoke the same way and pull and get great hits.
So you said oils and tinctures and hash or
correct. Yeah, there's I know that there's been some people that I've talked to that have used it for their e-cigarette use. There's people that are, that are trying to quit smoking. That's one way that they've done it. Some of the patients I've spoken to from the VA who are trying to quit smoking, the VA is directing the patients to look at getting an atomizer. You know, they're looking to tell them to go to those e-cigarettes, and this is a good alternative for patients that you know, want to do everything with one device.
See, that's the rage here in Tucson, is the e-cigarette.
Yeah, that is all the rage.
Yes, it is.
It's huge here. We got a place called Freedom Smoke, Freedom USA. And and they're based here in Tucson.
Yeah.
And I guess they're pretty big, getting worldwide with that.
Yeah, they are. People really like those. How long has Vapor Smoke been around?
The whole thing kind of started about... I believe it was about 7 years ago. The guy who designed it was up on a chairlift up in the Washington Mountains doing some skiing and trying to medicate in the lift, trying to think of there's got to be a better way, and it just kind of came to him. And, you know, it took some time to really kind of dial this thing in, and, you know, you can't say enough good things about it.
In a ski lift, huh?
Yeah, that's where it started.
That was a heavenly idea.
Absolutely.
Way up there.
Yeah, so while you're getting lifted.
This is a USA-made product, correct?
Yes, it is. All the parts are made in the United States. The only thing that is not is the lighter because, well, they don't make those in the United States anymore. All the lighters are made in Asia, but everything else is made in the United States.
Well, it's get something that's not made here.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a challenge.
Right.
Project. So, other than Vapor Smoke, what else? I know you're big involved in the community. Can we talk about what you do with the cannabis community here in Tucson and Arizona and the world at large?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. And I'm actually a volunteer vice president of SWAPA. We do a lot of patient outreach similar to what Tumbleweeds does. Helping educate our patients and making sure that they're up to date on the laws and helping them get certifications and really helping get through this hopscotch that the patients have to go through to get their medicines. And that's the big thing that I do. I've really kind of just trying to reach out to the community whenever I can and speak the truth of the benefits of medical cannabis. And I also had an opportunity here a couple weeks ago when the caravan for Peace came through town to stop by and really kind of hear some of the stories from both sides of the border about the violence that the drug war has caused us.
Yeah, that is an amazing journey that they're on right now. I know they came through here just recently, and I know they're going all over the United States. That caravan is what a powerful tool that they're leading across the country.
Definitely.
Well, and we hope that, you know, our leaders will start listening to the patient's needs. You know, Hank and I were just talking right before the show started about the dispensaries and what is and is not going on. What do you know? What do you know about that world?
Well, you know about as much as we do, unfortunately. You know, we don't have any dispensaries here. The state has taken their time to do their due process, or however nice adjectives you'd like to put it on, for them to get things rolling. I hope the dispensary is open soon. I'm cautiously optimistic. I realize that when California put through their medical marijuana bill, it took 7 to 9 years for them to really get everything implemented in place. And same thing in Colorado. They passed theirs in 2001, and it wasn't until about 2008, 2009 that they really started opening dispensaries there. So I'm cautiously optimistic that things are going to happen here soon for us.
Well, the director sent out a little blog earlier about their software. I don't know. We were discussing that too. I don't know. I guess Colorado, California, I don't know about the other states. I do know that after their propositions passed, it did take a while for dispensaries to open up. And I hope that they do it soon for the patients, but that they do it in the right way. You know, we don't want we can't have an overload of them, but we want to do it the right way, you know.
That's right. You know, we're law-abiding citizens. You know, we fought for this for a long time. You know, this is something that we want to see. We want to talk about the benefits of medical cannabis because there are so many, and we need more people to understand that and really get on board with a natural alternative medicine that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard Julia Butterfly Hill say once, she questioned why this is called the alternative if it's something that's really good for you. Why does something good for you need to be an alternative? I thought that was
right.
A good question, you know.
That's a great perspective.
Yeah, it should be the way, one way.
Well,
it should just be accepted and allowed regardless, you know. I was going to ask you what you thought about legalization versus, like, decriminalization and things like that.
You know, I'm still debating that myself. I would be happy with either at this point in my life. That's a very valid question, and I can't say that I weigh one way or another right now. I'm still debating.
I know. I hear arguments for both sides of those two terms regularly. Actually,
I
go back and forth on those. But yeah, something would be nice. You know, something solid in place that.
Just as long as patients can be taken care of, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And feel safe about it.
Right.
Feel safe, not feel like we're criminals. You know, the day that I received my card was one of the happiest days of my life.
So you are a card holder.
I am absolutely a card holder for almost a year now.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm due for my renewal.
All right.
Where are you going to get that at?
Probably tumbleweeds.
All right.
Hey,
when you're medicating with your vaporizer, do you have any specific strains you like to use or recommend?
I don't. You know, I'm a fan that of all the medicines. An indica is, you know. Sometimes it works best for me during the day, depending on how I'm feeling. But for the most part, I'm a sativa during the day and an indica at night.
That's a good way to go.
That's what they say, and that's what the readings have gone with, and that's the life I'm living.
So this may seem like a silly question, but I know people have asked me definitely newcomers.
Sure.
Is there a difference in when you smoke a sativa or indica in the vaporizer? Is everything vaped the same way? Is one vape easier than the other, or does one hit you more than other, or does it depend?
It can depend. You know, it depends on the meds and how they've tested out. I mean, I can definitely tell something with a higher THC and definitely with a higher CBD in it. I do feel like I can feel it a little bit more. I feel like the vapor smoke really. When I am smoking out of it, which is my preference personally, I feel that there's a high CBD content of the medicine that I really tend to get a little better versus typical smoking out of any other apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Other apparatuses, do you roll joints? Do you smoke out of a bong or a pipe?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Preferred method?
But your preferred method, probably while you're out, is the vapor smoke, of course.
Absolutely. Portability-wise and being out in public, that is the most efficient way and discreet way for me to vaporize and to medicate and when I'm out and about, yeah.
Right.
Does vapor smoke make any other devices or smoking utensils?
No, this is their only product at this time.
Okay.
They're always looking to make different changes to the product to make it better. The nice thing about it is any changes that are made to the product going forward, they will be retrofittable to the current model. So you're able to exchange pieces without having to buy a whole new machine. So.
Mm-hmm. And we hear they're coming in pretty new color soon.
Color.
That is a great rumor that I keep hearing myself. I have seen some demos for some wonderful colors, bright neon and some neon yellow, and I've seen some pinks and some purples. I believe that we will probably see some here sometime soon, but I have not received a solid date on when that's going to happen.
not as discreet as the black, but definitely fashionable.
Definitely fashionable, absolutely.
It'll fit better in a lady's purse.
It's America. We've got to match our accessories, please.
That's right.
If not, we have to match our accessories.
So, you use a whip at home, don't you, Kim?
Yes.
I use a whip at home, too. Do you have ever used a whip system?
I have. I'm not a huge fan, personally.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of what I grew up with. That's what I'm the only
reason.
Yeah,
kind of old school.
Old school.
Oh, and we can't afford the other ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, the what I've heard about some of these other devices and vaporizers in regards to the whips and maybe the volcano with the bag is you lose some of the medicinal benefits when you're using those because what's sticking to the sides of the bag and what's sticking to the sides of your whip.
Well, what sticks to the sides of your esophagus and what sticks to the sides of your lungs and what sticks to the side of the pipe and what sticks to your fingers?
does it stick inside the little mouthpiece here?
Oh, yeah,
here?
Sure.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
We have a question from a patient out there in the world. Does it have the same odor as when you smoke?
When you vaporize?
Yeah.
I think it's much less. It's not non-existent, but it's significantly less than having an open flame burning.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And then what about cleaning it? How often do you have to clean these things?
It depends how much you use it, honestly. But it's a very simple process. It slides apart, and you soak it in rum and alcohol. Every part except for the lighter can soak in alcohol for about 15 minutes, rinse it off, put it back together, and you're good to go again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Clean, portable, secret. Sounds good
Definitely.
To me. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Always keep your smoking utensils clean.
Always.
You missed the
painting.
It's tremendously difficult.
And
no,
how
it's not.
Does one use the warranty if
all right, we have a warranty question now.
Okay.
If you need to use the warranty,
yes.
Where are you guys? Do we come knock on a door somewhere? Hey, you.
If you have a warranty question, then go to the Vapor Smoke website, and there is a contact page on there. It will go directly to the owner, and he will respond within 24 hours. Let them know that you got it here in Tucson, and let them know you got it from Tumbleweeds, and we'll get the part sent out to you. If it's a part that I can get for you and get it over to you the same day, I will definitely do that for you guys.
Awesome.
Where does the owner live? Does he live here in Tucson?
He does now. He does now. He relocated here last year.
Oh, good.
Oh, excellent. From
Seattle.
Oh, right. Oh, Washington. Excellent. Wow, a whole different climate. Oh, my gosh.
You can see the sun here.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, Jared, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you would like to share? We bombarded you with our questions. Anything you want to share about what's going on?
Nothing new for me to share on my end, but I really appreciate your time. For everyone that's listening, please take the time to check out the Vapor Smoke. If you're here in Tucson, I'll be into Tumbleweeds occasionally to give a demonstration and really help any patients out that have questions with it.
Awesome. What's your website for the listeners?
The website is vaporsmoke.com.
Oh, there you go. Vaporsmoke.com. That's pretty easy. Well,
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, you got the little ones and the family over there, and we appreciate
Always,
you here. Yeah,
I appreciate you having me. It's been a good time. We'll do this again sometime.
Awesome. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you. Take care.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right.
Vapor smoke.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool little handy device there.
Anybody out there in the audience use one? Let us know how they work.
Yeah. We've got a lot of people I know that come into Tumbleweeds to check those out. They are really simple and they are really discreet. They're really like a pack of playing cards. They're smaller than that even, I think.
Yeah. They look like an old beeper.
Sativa Sean is here.
Hi.
Well, you're back. Holy cow. Well, how'd you get in here? That was last week. What the? All right. Sativa Sean, spill it. What do you got to say?
So we were hanging out with some friends the other day. And my vapor smoke ran out of butane.
Oh.
But no one else had a piece. So we actually just...
Here comes...
Yeah. We got a little
smart stoner. Yep.
And,
so what'd we do?
Out like this.
Yeah. Oh, and just smoked it like that.
And took a lighter, and there it was.
Look at that.
Very discreet and really nice.
That is nice. We should have shared that story with Jared, but I'm sure he's listening.
The stealth pack that goes with it. Also
Sativa,
sold here.
Yeah, the little stealth bag.
You use a vapor smoke, and you also use...
I also use a smoker for about 15 years, and now I use the vaporizing tin.
Now, do you ever put oils or tinctures or?
I have tried, but it's quite a little more of a work to switch back and forth from on your vapor smoke to use it for tinctures.
How about the pen?
For the pen, I do drop the tincture in this every once in a while.
And that works.
And it works great.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So it's nice to have kind of two different devices for both things. The vapor smoke, it's a little tougher to put that other little piece in and then switch back because it's mostly used for vaping my medicine.
Well, and the other little handy thing there is it looks like a pen, so it's a little even more discreet and you can tuck that away.
And right, and you know, with these being on such the rise these days and people wanting to use them and many different flavors.
Yeah.
That company, I wish I started that company.
And then...
Company is just taking off. You look at it.
Yeah, well, I hope America quits smoking cigarettes. And
oh, well, it's Europe is where it's taking off.
Well, good. Well, everywhere. That's just hard on you.
Okay. Actually, there's also... another company that just came out.
This is all about vaporizers, but we're talking about...
Vapor smoke.
But this is a vape show. It's okay to have questions.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the volcano over there. Now, I think maybe that's the second time I've ever used a volcano. And I didn't see anything sticking it inside that bag.
I'm
sure there's some, but it tastes good. And it doesn't, it's not like it, I mean, it's not like you're not going to get it.
It's a food grade turkey bag.
It's not like you're not going
to
not get your medicine, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to get your medicine. Yeah. And there's what's that?
Well, I was telling Dana that it's a food grade plastic.
Oh, right.
And so it's actually edible.
Right. So when you're done with it, cut it inside.
You could do that, yes.
Cook it.
You could put it over your head and tie it around your neck.
You could go, wrap it around your arm, go out in the sun, maybe it'll bake into your skin or something. I don't know.
Awesome. Personally, I think, especially, it's the best way to fly. But they're real expensive.
Yeah.
But they'll never wear out. Never, ever, ever.
And it's real. You can tune it right into the
temperature. Oh, yeah, it's digital.
Yeah, it's a digital electronic.
And I've been to a party with one with a 6-foot bag on.
Holy party.
You know, you can make the bag. She made one, this big one. So
maybe.
It was a joke.
Yeah. It was a baby bag. It was a baby bag.
But what's nice about those is you can fill it, take a couple of hits, set it down, and come back to it tomorrow if you wanted.
Oh, it stays right in there?
It stays right in there.
And it stays fresh?
Yeah.
And you can make the bag as long as you want.
You can make them small. It comes with a roll of stuff, and you make the bag yourself.
So it'd be interesting, your question to Jared before, your technical question about the different temperatures.
Uh-huh.
We need to find that out because...
Well, I looked and that's...
360 is where you get all of it?
No. 360 is where the CBDs and CBNs start doing their thing.
And what about THC?
THC between 330 and 350, depending sativa, hybrids. You have to kind of play with it like you do this one a little bit.
And so
I find mine works really good at 347.
Now, what about like the Whippets, or not the Whippets, the whip that we have?
That's what I use, 347.
Because a lot of people have come in here and and shown us that at 275, they're burning their thing. So I guess on every machine it's different, and that's what you've got to just play with your machine and find out.
They're made in China.
I would try out a little bit of medicine right at first so you don't waste a whole lot of your medicine. Check and see with your vaporizer.
Those digital readouts, those things are made in an Asian country. And I guarantee you, you put ten of them aside from each other and turn them on 350, but they're all not going to be at 350.
Gotcha.
Where
which
this one here is American made.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And it's got, what, a 10-year guarantee?
Five-year.
And another thing good about a vaporizer, whether it's the vapor smoke or the whip method or the volcano method, is we just filled that bag, what, 5-6 times? Huh? And how much material? We used a dime's worth of material the whole time. No, just a flat dime's worth.
Hmm.
The whole time.
And it's still green.
And it's still green.
See, and so this little handy book says that the vaporizing, which is what I was asking about the different kinds, it produces a slightly different effect from smoking. Is it, do you find that?
Yes, because you're just getting the THC. You're not getting any carcinogens, no CBNs, no CBDs.
Until
you're
just getting, bake with it later.
And,
or turn your vaporizer up.
Right.
Okay.
But, you know, when this all started, even before medical marijuana, people used vaporizers just to smoke the THC. And it's, if you do it right and you have your own and you know how to work it, the flavors you get out of one of those bags just blows your mind.
Yeah, that's what I, first thing I told our patient over there was that that tastes really good.
I mean,
really
you can really get the flavors. Now, if you turn it up too high, that goes away.
Or you burn it?
Yeah, because you're starting to burn it. Boy, once you get that flavor, just the flavor and a fine little mist.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing with a whip. If you get that fine little mist, it's the same with the vapor smoke.
You
get that
mist.
Fine little mist. You're using the device properly.
I always say you're getting your true integrity of your dosage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but most people, as I say, the beginners and even old timers, they want to see that big old bellow of smoke come out of their lungs.
Yeah.
Well, they're not getting anything.
Because that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Psychological thing.
Yeah.
Laboratory studies by California Normal and the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS, have found that vaporizers can efficiently deliver cannabinoids while eliminating or drastically reducing smoke toxins, which is one of the major reasons that people like to use the vaporizers.
Well, it's just like you smoke a cigarette, is what you're doing is getting the nicotine, right? That's what you're craving is the nicotine. All the rest of it you're getting is carcinogens. It's the same thing with smoking cannabis. You know, you're after the THC. The rest of it that you're smoking is going to be a carcinogen, except for the CBD and CBNs, but those are really minute. I just found a strain, 26% THC with 1.79 CBN.
Wow, what's that?
It's called, Grape Stomper.
Grape Stomper?
Uh-huh.
From Napa?
No, it's a cross between an OG... And it's an old sour grape lineage.
Ooh, I like the grape.
And I'll tell you, I've looked at a lot of cannabis in my life, but this has got to be the prettiest shit you ever seen.
Wow.
You can't see the green leaves.
Huh.
They're all white, solid.
That's a good sign.
I have a real good sign.
That's a real good sign. We like that. Well, we have... a poem to read. Would you like to read the poem?
No, you're more into poems than I am.
Steve Sean, would you like to read a poem?
I just got daggers across.
Yeah, my left eye hurts now. I'm going to read a poem. A patient came in to Tumbleweed's Health Center and tried one of their strains called Space Queen. And a patient
must have liked it.
Liked it a lot. It's called The Kush, Space Queen. Nuggets as big as a finger. Smells as sweet as pine, crystals and clear and amber, gonna taste all right. Grind it, roll it, light it, blow it, breathe, feel, assess. Heavy, heady, deep spice-filled breath brings a touch right to the edge, a kiss, a light, a blow, a night. Smoke the kush, you know it feels right. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That must have been quite a little bowl for vaporization
session.
Yeah, so.
Where they been? Let's go back to the dispensaries. What do you know?
Well, what's happening here? Oh my! You've got some secrets.
Well, I want to hear what you know.
I just got the news. You know,
what's the news say?
The news says that no matter what happens,
when
the dispensaries open. Their attorney general targets medical marijuana dispensaries protected by law, the article says, and I'll read a little just for fun. Governor Jan Brewer has signed a waiver which will allow attorney Tom Horn to try to close down the marijuana dispensaries that her state health department is in the process of licensing. The move comes in the wake of Horn's formal legal opinion that the state cannot legally permit anyone to sell marijuana, even only to those who have a doctor's recommendation to use the drug. Horn said as long as the drug remains illegal under federal law, the state is powerless to authorize anything to the contrary. And the governor said Thursday she does not intend to block Health Director Will Humble from continuing the process of issuing state permits. And Humble, who conducted a lottery for those certificates, said that... let's see, there will be 126 health districts in the state, and he thinks the first of the shops should be open by the end of the month.
The end of this month? That's 2 days from
now. He's got 2 days, yeah. But then, you know, another blog came out today about this, that, and the other thing. And
well, I can tell you right now, they're not going to open.
Ever?
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that.
Well, what do you know?
But the hurdle they're having now, the people that have been approved, there is a state form that each employee must be fill out and sent back to the state, and they have to be fingerprinted and the whole bit. Well, the state of Arizona has not designed the form yet.
Maybe that's what was going on earlier. Is that part of a director's blog we read? No. The other thing we were reading was that their software wasn't ready yet. I mean, they've got all these ideas in place that aren't set up. I don't understand.
I mean, the poor guys, they're spending all this money and they can't hire anybody even.
Who's spending money? The dispensary owners?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the state's doing is collecting money. Good gosh. Millions and millions and millions these people have gathered from patients across just Arizona, and they're just letting them down. That's all I have to say about it.
I just think they're going to use Arizona as a test state since we're the youngest state there is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see with the elections coming up. I honestly feel like they're going to make so many rules and hoops to jump through that they're going to try and put it back on a ballot at some point and just vote it right back off again.
In the new Skunk magazine, there's a, and it's not William F. Buckley. The guy's name is Buckley, and he wrote this editorial on the elections.
Oh.
And it's really, really interesting what the man says. But at the last paragraph, he says, when Obama is elected, within 30 days after his election, he'll loosen the reins on medical marijuana. He has no balls to do it before the election.
Secret.
Secretly. He's pro. Obama's pro.
And then what
marijuana.
Happened? I mean, he came out to the West and went to all the states and said, okay, everybody, feds, leave everybody
yeah,
alone. Take care of the patients.
But he does not want to use it as a
well, and then it
to
all
run
happened.
On.
But then the
they dropped it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that brought up during the elections.
Well, he hasn't want it brought up from the last since he's been in there, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came out and he showed face and said, don't do this.
He's been busy.
Yeah. Well, the
but
sad
it's kind
thing
of funny.
Is,
and I kind of agree with the guy. Probably within 30 days, they'll lighten the news.
Well, they got to figure something out. You know, they really do. There are so many more states that are pushing
well,
their propositions.
Well, applying for it now.
Mm-hmm. And the rest are in the, you know, most of the rest are in the waiting and have already tried to do so. If you check Normal, their
and
website
I guess something
out.
Just happened in L.A. about them closing it down. I found something unconstitutional about that.
So we got, yeah, it says feds cracked down on Southern California medical marijuana. Los Angeles, federal prosecutors on Tuesday expanded their crackdown on California medical marijuana dispensaries, filing three lawsuits and sending warning letters to more than 60 clinics in two Orange County cities. The asset forfeiture lawsuits filed against landlords who own buildings that house
that
six
sucks.
Marijuana shops in Anaheim, and the letters ordered the closure of the clinics or possible criminal charges would be filed. More than 300 pot stores and grows have been targeted in the Central District of California, which stretches from Santa Barbara to San Bernardino, since October, when the state's four U.S. attorneys announced an effort to curb dispensaries.
Prosecutors argue dealers and suppliers are using the state's medical pot law, approved in 96, as legal cover for running sophisticated drug trafficking. Well, if they think that, then they don't have good enough controls over it,
mm-hmm.
where they should have great controls. It should be just like if you, the pharmacy has this and that, it's never going to happen, snicker, snicker.
True.
Medical marijuana advocates argue the collectives are protected by California law, which allows the drug to be cultivated and supplies to all ill people on the nonprofit basis. The crackdown comes amid a shift by municipalities and law enforcement agencies. They say the clinics are abusing the law, in some cases overrunning neighborhoods. Last month, Los Angeles voted to ban as many as 900 storefronts. Now, to me, that's their problem for giving out 900 damn
licenses
in the city limits.
Yep, they blew
it. Now, what was on their mind? Well, you know what was on their mind? Taxes.
Yeah, no kidding. Dollars.
But now, there's too much crap hitting the fan, so we're
mm-hmm.
going to close them.
66 warning letters were sent out. That's amazing. I wonder what the landlord's responses 66 were.
66 warning letters?
Yep.
Well, that only leaves 844 stores.
Well, and they're checking the mailboxes every day to see if they're going to get one of those letters. It's so sad. I know that one of the first letters was sent to Harborside, but that's just ridiculous.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, they've been through the ringer. It's just pretty sad. You know, I really wish that the federal government, any government, would just look at the patient's needs and start focusing on that. That's all I have ever said, and I think that's just really.
So Hank's highlight is read Scudder Magazine and read that article by that Buckman character about the upcoming elections. I mean, I read it four times. It was that, whoa, really? Because he said some
tell
shit
us
that, well, I'm not, you know, I don't want to say pro-Romney, but Romney is an asshole and Obama's at least tried to do some shit. That's what the article said.
That's what, okay. Well, yeah, well.
You know.
I don't want to be in any either.
And one of the things the article says is Romney, when he was in high school, was known as a bully. When Obama was in high school, he was known as the guy that cut in line for his hit. You know, every time he cut in line, he'd say, intercepted. You know? So do you want a bully or a pothead?
Well, we want somebody that thinks
pothead,
about patients. Yeah.
Well, somebody cannabis friendly.
Yes, there you go. Or
cannabis.
At least somebody with an open mind, you know.
Friendly.
Wow.
So I recommend everybody read that article. It's a magazine out of Canada, so it's not in the United States, so it's kind of non-biased.
Hey, speaking of Canada, does anybody know Watermelon Girl? She's going to be on our show in
She's
a couple weeks.
She's got big tits?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? You'll have to look at the pictures and see.
Okay, the audience all said she does.
She's an animal.
She does the show Baked and Baking. And what was the other show she did? Baking a Fool of Myself.com. Check those out. It's on YouTube.
YouTube.
You can check it out. She's a pioneer in Vancouver. She's been making edibles and things like that for a long time, getting in trouble for it. She got busted for allegedly trafficking ginger snap cookies.
Oh,
on the
man.
Beach.
On the nude beach that she frequents often. But, yeah, she's great. She's going to be on our show. Check out – you can just Google Watermelon Girl or
– she's got some great recipes out there.
Yeah, there's great recipes. And she'll be on September 12th, I believe. But we've got some
back
really
to my
great.
High Times review in the latest
You're
High Times.
You're doing
skunk. Well, no, but I'm supposed to do High Times, but my last thing. There's an article on making the chef.
Making
cinnamon rolls.
Ooh.
And they're to die for. The recipe with cream cheese, medicated frosting.
Wow, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's what I like to hear.
It is ridiculous. Well, we...
We what?
Speaking of...
We all go home.
Cannabis recipes. We're not going anywhere. What, are you tired? You think you get sick and you get to rest now? So speaking of cannabis recipes, if you check out Mary Jane's Survival Guide, mjsurvival.com, there's recipes in there. There are, actually, they've got, oh, look at that, a cannabun.
That's another one, yeah.
A cannabun recipe with the icing recipe, which is, that's probably one of the most important parts of that. But the Survival's Guide has, Mary Jane's Survival Guide has a lot of tips and really good information. Here's a grower's tip. Make the most of your microbes. Would you like to read a little bit about that, Hank?
Microbes?
Yeah, make the most of your microbes.
What the hell is a microbe?
Well, you should read about it and tell us. By Kyle Cushman, medical marijuana expert.
To be honest, between you and I, I'm looking
at
the recipe for cinnamon rolls. Cannabuns.
Well, I'm going to read this. Because
you know, it's the same recipe in high times.
This looks interesting.
It's the same exact one.
Well, and you got a pretty picture here, too. And if these are free, these magazines are free,
okay.
You can stop by Tumbleweed Health Center and pick one up.
I'll help you.
You'll help? Okay, go for it.
By Kyle Cushman. Medical marijuana. No.
This must be the antibiotics kicking in now.
The application of beneficial microbes doesn't have to be complicated or involved in any knowledgeable of brewing or chemistry. All you need is a quality microbial inoculants, which are available in all grow stores and most nurseries. I always use three forms of inoculants. This supercharges my medium and his very array of microlife. Okay, so this guy's grown in soil. Go ahead.
The first form is granular, used during transplanting. This product doesn't need to be the expensive kind. The cheaper nursery store brands work fine for this application. Sprinkle 1 tablespoon of powder in the bottom of each transplant hole. Second is the soluble microbial inoculants. Adding these to every watering through mid-flowering will build a robust colony of beneficials. Around the fifth week, I usually take a break for a week, then re-inoculate every other week until flushing. I like to use a more expensive horticultural grade product for this application. The trick to getting the most from your soluble microbial inoculants is to prepare it before using by aerating it. So add the soluble microbes as per package instructions to the appropriate amount of water, then add a food source for the microbes. This can be any complex carbohydrates such as Hybrix, molasses, sucanat, or prepared products like Humboldt Honey ES.
Whoa.
Sounds good.
You should never try to brew microbe tea with chlorinated water.
Well,
I'm an anti-chlorine person.
I don't want to drink it.
Chlorine is a bactericide which doesn't discriminate between good and bad bacteria. You should always draw water days ahead of use to allow the chlorine to evaporate. Unless your city uses chloramethine, then it won't evaporate off. For it is to rise to close to room temperature and allow time to be aerated. In the same way I talked about supercharging your soil, this will supercharge your water. Simply place an air stone attached to an air aquarium style pump into the water for 24 to 48 hours before using it. Lastly, but certainly not least, is brewing microbe tea. It's called aerated compost tea or ACT, and it's not complicated to make or use. I suggest buying a Bonity compost tea brewing kit from your grow supply store. For a little over $100, you get everything you need to make around 500 gallons of fresh microbe tea. This product will have the largest concentration of living microbes you can buy. I suggest 2 to 4 applications of the Bonity by mid-flowering. When you activate, brew and aerate your microbes all at the same time, you cause them to grow and multiply. So if you leave time to brew and you can choose to use less than the suggested amounts per gallon, these three applications together will provide unpropelling beneficial coverage.
And Kyle Cushman is considered an expert cultivator in the medical marijuana industry. You can send Kyle comments, thanks and praise to Kyle at mjsurvival.com. What do you think about that?
For all you soil growers, it's a good idea.
Sure is.
It's a great idea.
Just had something on my mind. It's gone. I think we have somebody who wants to, we have a live caller. I think.
Whoa.
We're gonna go for this. We'll see here what was going on. Live caller, are you there?
Hello?
Nope, they don't want to come on. Maybe, I don't know what was going on. All right, well, they scared out. That's okay.
Did they hang up?
Did they have what?
Did they hang up?
No, they're there, but nothing happened. That's okay. Let's see.
What do we have?
We're just getting a little feedback.
Anybody out there want to talk to Hank?
You know what? Where can you get such interesting little products to mix in your batches? Where would we go for that?
Well, I personally, no. A grower's house at 227 East Valencia, Nate. They've got it all right there. They even got a microbrew thing right there on the counter.
If you live in the Tucson area or shop for hydroponics online, visit Grower's House at 227 East Valencia or...
Around the back.
Way around the back. But right. Guess what? I believe they're moving to somewhere a little more...
On the east side. I heard the same rumor.
GrowersHouse.com for wholesale price hydroponics equipment. Grower's House offers free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee, not to mention... Growers House staff are experienced growers, which can help you get started and succeed in all your growing endeavors.
They can?
That's what they say. Claim to fame, that's what they say.
Can they come over to your house and every day and monitor?
Oh, you might have to tip them a little. We would like to give a shout-out to AZ Med Testing.
Steve.
They offer medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, we extract the cannabinoid percentages from the medicine and provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristic. And they test for things that include, which we hope they don't, alien matters. I'm always looking for those guys.
God, every time I look at a bud for an alien.
I know. I just want to say hi. They do a cannabinoid survey. And they do a microbiological evaluation. They test for moisture presence, and they test for pests and fungi.
Fungi.
They test for fungi.
If you live in Tucson, you just drop it in FedEx, send it right up to them.
You can drive up there, too, I believe.
FedEx is a lot cheaper.
Driving's more fun. We've got a fun book that we read every week called Hempathy, Food for Thought. And we've got a couple minutes and we'll read this real quick here. Show might go over, so hold on. Hempathy, Food for Thought is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. So now Hank's back. He can go ahead and describe our pictures. One pretty and one not.
You mean Sativa Boy didn't do it?
Oh, Sativa Boy did.
I'm sure he did.
All right. Let's see. What do we have here?
We've got why and why not. Inhumane animal testing.
Ooh.
What I got here is this picture of this ghoulish-looking dude with a hypodermic in his hand. And looks like he's got a bunch of fetuses in some bottles, and he's got some lab rats, and he's got a bunch of monkeys, a bunch of all kinds of weird stuff, and weird-looking chemicals, and pliers, and scalpels, and inhumane animal testing. Each year in the United States, an estimated 70 million animals are maimed, blinded, scalded, force-fed chemicals, genetically manipulated, and otherwise hurt and killed in laboratories run by manufacturers, government agencies, educational institutions, and scientific centers. No experiment, however ridiculous, unless or painful, is illegal. The majority of animals used in experimentation receive absolutely no protection under current laws. The government pays for the same experiments to be done over and over. Government funding animal testing costs U.S. taxpayers $12 billion annually.
Wow.
$12 billion. And after Bell does Why Not, and boy, this is a great picture. Bunch of guys, they got some four-footers in the background under HPS lights and fans and music. And One of them's doing some clones. And looks like they're just having a ball.
We like that.
But after this, I've got a comment to make.
Okay.
A hand comment.
Oh, okay. We're going to hold on to our seats for that one. Why not? Allow competition for cannabis research. There you go. Despite the fact that federal law clearly requires adequate competition in the manufacture of controlled substances, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA, has maintained a monopoly on the production of marijuana for legitimate research purposes in the U.S. The DEA protects NIDA's monopoly by refusing to grant licenses for marijuana production. Currently, the only way for marijuana to be evaluated for safety and medical efficacy is for privately funded sponsors to conduct FDA-approved clinical trials. But NIDA's monopoly on the supply of marijuana obstructs such research despite strong scientific interest. NIDA has refused to provide marijuana to at least 3 federally approved, privately funded studies. Shame on them.
Idiots.
Total. But I like that in the guy's little squirt bottle, it's got little hearts coming out instead of water. He's spraying love. He's spraying love for patients.
Well,
okay, I can't even handle it.
Regarding humane
what's your
testing,
comment? Oh, get me started.
Sunday night I watched Dateline. So I've been at home for 2 weeks. I've turned into a TV addict. And what they had was the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, how they test drugs. And the way they do it is they run studies, controlled studies, and they hire people to do their testing and evaluations.
Hmm.
10 years ago, 95% of that was done in the United States.
Uh-oh.
As of Sunday, 95% of it's done outside the United States in India. Now, you can't blame the people. But they're getting paid $200 to $300 a test. Their average pay is 50 cents a day. So these people are taking this stuff and they're dying. There's just all kinds of weird shit's happening to them. And a lot of the reasoning is they're doing 3 tests at once. But they're not telling the one lab that we're doing tests here. So the lab writes all this pro and they give it to the FDA and say, it's a great old drug.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what happened was, is Carl Hansen, the Dateline guy, went to India and went to 2 labs. He made a fake company and a fake drug, and the drug was Vioxx. But it wasn't called Vioxx, but the ingredients and the recipe was the same recipe for Vioxx.
I caught the tail end of this.
Did you?
Yeah. Scary.
And, I go, no problem. We'll run a study on it. We'll get it
passed. Yeah, we'll test it. Come to our
we'll
country.
We'll test it.
Yeah.
Cost you $1 million.
Yeah.
And the other place was $700,000. And I mean, they do it from here's the drug to they do all the work with the FDA. You're out of it.
Wow.
And he tells the guy, well, this is Vioxx. This is all we do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it would never have passed our second lab test, of course, is what he said. Yeah, I've never passed the real lab test.
$1 million.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. It'll pass any test you want.
So that's how corrupt our testing is.
That is corrupt.
So that's humane testing on humans.
Humane, well, test on us. We'll do it. We'll be volunteers for the marijuana cannabis study.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm good. Well, we would like to say thank you to Vapor Smoke Jared for being on our show. AZ Med Testing,
Tumbleweeds
Growers
Health Center,
TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com.
Get your certifications, $99.
$99. Come get certified. Get almost legal. We've got some great shows
what
coming
was
up.
What word you use?
Almost legal. Got some great shows coming up. Jeff Kaufman. Oh, next week. Get your legal questions ready because this guy is going to answer all of them for us. What can we do? How much can we have? Laws, guns, flying, sending it. Being with it in the public. You get your questions ready because this guy's brilliant. He's in the MJ Survival Guide every week with new articles that you really need to read. Watermelon Girls coming. We have the Marijuana Policy Project is coming. Students for Sensible Drug Policy are going to be on our show. Thank you so much for being a part of Weed Day Wednesday. Thank you, Hank. I'm so glad you're healthy again.
Thanks for our audience and thanks for the volcano, UC. We were smoking kosher kush and blueberries.
Nice. Yeah,
that was restraining tonight.
All right, Weed Day Wednesday. Woo! See you next week.
Night all. pleasant dreams.